We're talking now Tom Albertson, and he is the just retired, as we speak, superintendent of schools for the Lake Pendere School District. Tom, thanks for meeting with us and talking with us.
Thanks, Chris.
I think most folks, at least these last 3 years, know of you as the superintendent of schools for the school district, but your history here goes way back, a lot farther than that. I could even say generations back.
Yeah.
So tell us, for the folks that may not know much about you, tell us a bit about your life here and your specifically your time in the schools.
Yeah. Well, my family did come in 1916 to Bonner County. And so you're right, there's many, many, many generations. My father, Don Albertson, after he got out of the military, was a science teacher. So he instilled a sense of the importance of education in our household. So when I graduated from Sandpoint High School in 1982, I had in my opinion, a great education here locally. I went to Northside Elementary for 8 years and then Sandpoint High School. And went to University of Idaho to be an engineer. Math was something that came easy to me, and with the idea of not really knowing what an engineer does, you know, things kind of came together where I put everything together and came out with a degree in education in mathematics. And that's when, you know, things started, and you start looking for a job, as all young people do, and that's kind of how it started. I'd interviewed in Julietta, Idaho, and didn't get a job.
For a math teacher?
It was a math teacher, yeah. But interestingly enough, Chris, there's something called added value, especially in small schools. What else can you do? And at that time, they needed a volleyball coach, and I was not a volleyball coach. So then I moved back to Sandpoint and interviewed for a math job and did not get that, because they needed a volleyball coach. And so kind of
about going, time to take up volleyball.
Man, maybe I should have learned to take a couple courses in volleyball at University of Idaho. Yeah. But anyway, it turned out I started my very first year driving a special needs student to school, mowing Memorial Field, painting the field, and substitute teaching until about November. And then a job came open in the middle of the year, and 36 years later, here I am. Yeah.
So you started as a math teacher?
Actually, my very first year was 1986-87, and for people that have lived here a long time, remember that we double shifted that year. So that was the year that we were overcrowded, we were trying to build some new facilities, and so I had the afternoon shift and actually taught science. So I'm a certified science teacher as well. So I had 7th, 8th, and 9th graders in science from 12:30 to 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, math is a science.
Yeah, math is a science.
Yeah, I actually used math to satisfy my science requirements for my degree.
Oh, okay.
So not that I'm very good with math. But
Then it was the next year that started teaching math at the high school.
And yeah.
22 years of that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got onto a track where you got into administration.
Yeah. There was multiple times in that 22 years of teaching math that I inquired about starting a master's program in educational leadership. Back then, it wasn't as easy as being able to do it online. You'd have to travel in the evenings to Coeur d'Alene or summers to Moscow. So kind of the timing finally came around. I think Mark Berryhill was a superintendent, and he brought University of Idaho educational leadership program to Sandpoint, and it was very convenient. And there was a cohort of teachers that went through that program. But yeah, so then I had a stint as athletic director at Sandpoint High School, assistant principal, then principal for 5 years. And then the last 3 years has been superintendent.
Mm-hmm. So you managed to come on as superintendent right as we were facing a historic conundrum of how to manage our schools and provide education with the pandemic coming on.
Yeah.
What were the special challenges there?
There were many challenges. I think the unknown was one. The varied and divisive opinions of the pandemic was a second one. Having weekly meetings with the health district and not quite knowing what direction to go in the guidance, recommendations that were given. And even at the state level from the governor, I think probably there's been no time in history where people used the word local control more than any other time. Mm-hmm. No one really wanted to make a decision or the decision and put it back on the five school board members at each school district and superintendent. So it was local control. So just taking all the information you had, I don't know if there was a right or a wrong answer. It was what kind of was a middle ground. How do we keep our schools open and keep them open as safely as possible, but yet at the same time give patrons and parents as many choices as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, and do it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was challenging.
And the schools did end up, I mean, you couldn't have in-classroom teaching for a while there.
For the spring, for those last 2 months of 2020,
mm-hmm.
Basically it was schools were shut down. And, that was basically coming kind of statewide. I don't know of too many schools that did not shut down short-term in the spring of 2020. And then that gave the summertime to plan for the school year of 2021 to reopen in a modified version with some mitigating factors put in place.
Mm-hmm. And I think something else that kind of came out of that is that you saw a lot more parents coming to school board meetings to talk about.
Yeah, people were passionate. Yeah. People were passionate on both, like I say, both sides, not, I guess you'd say we had a pandemic in 1917, 1918, but not really knowing here how do you keep schools going, and what mitigating factors do you put in place that can try to keep people as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was definitely at least two camps in that.
Folks that were saying be very cautious, and the other
very
folks
cautious,
are saying you're
right.
basically harming the children because they don't get that in classroom
right.
Teaching.
Yeah.
And it was really pretty sad for some of those kids that came through, and they lost those marquee moments of mm-hmm. your education, like
right.
prom or
right.
Graduation ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was tough for those kids.
Yeah. And tried to do the best that we could. I think we're seeing a learning loss of all of the cohorts of students, though, the current first and second graders. From our data that we have on our academic data from our ISATs and our MAP testing, which shows growth, both of those cohorts are lower district-wide than third grade and above.
Mm-hmm.
And last year's kindergarten students were back to what we would say a normal growth pattern and achievement.
Mm-hmm.
So, when those first and second graders were preschool, kindergarten, or kindergarten, first grade, I think it got some work to catch that cohort up.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a real world demonstration of the importance of in-classroom teaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we think now with the internet, you can take anything you want online, but you really don't get that same quality of education.
Yeah. And there's those basic skills. I mean, reading. And then you've got your math facts that you're going to pick up along the way, but then also that social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important as far as how do you work in a group setting, and
mm-hmm.
Very key to
My observation is that kids see other kids achieving things, and it kind of encourages them to try harder, and there's a dynamic there that they bounce off each other, their peers, in order to progress. Yeah.
It's, you know, we call it a learning community for a reason. Mm-hmm. It is a community of learners that, and you're absolutely right, that help each other out.
Mm-hmm. So another big thing that happened on your watch, I believe, was the continuing levy was passed, which brought a certain financial stability to the school district.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. And I know, I think 51% of the voters approved that. We have a few challenges on it that we needed to work through, but we prevailed, and I, you know, feel good about that in the sense that the district has not gone back to the voters, have not gone back to the taxpayers for operational funds.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to try to do that for as many years as possible. I still really feel that that was the right decision, is to lock in that amount and try to live within mm-hmm. that budgeted amount.
Right. Yes, prior to that, for folks that aren't acquainted, the district every 2 years was having to pass a supplemental levy, and they did it 10 elections in a row.
Right.
So the voters had demonstrated their commitment to education here, but it was all, took a tremendous amount of resources every 2 years to try to get that levy passed. Yeah. So, well, one thing that is still a big need in the school districts is facilities. We have some aging schools that need to be either renovated or replaced. What do you foresee for that?
Yeah, that was one of my priorities as superintendent, which then kind of got waylaid a little bit with the COVID-19 coming in. And so when Dr. Becky Meyer takes a hold of the reins here of Lake Pendre School District, she's going to have to address that. And we've already had that dialogue, and I've kind of handed the torch over of the people I've met with and kind of some work behind the scenes, but there really hasn't been some big committee work again that Superintendent Woodward had started. But we do need to address the aging facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we hope every year in the legislative session that there would be some mechanism or some tool that would come about to make that easier, but so far we haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the way it's currently set up, it would basically fall on the local voters to say, we're going to pay for some pretty major improvements needed in the schools. What are the biggest needs off the top of your head for facilities?
First, I'd just like to say that our teachers do an amazing job in the facilities that we do have. But with that, you know, Sandpoint Middle School currently is getting close. Washington Elementary is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washington Elementary has three different era of buildings kind of sandwiched into one. I think there was actually inner core of three or four classrooms that are from the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the 50s version, and then you got the 70s version that's kind of wrapping around that. So in my opinion, those are two of the highest needs. We are seeing a larger population increase out in the Northside Elementary area. And so the need for expansion there is coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of needs, either remodel or some new facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's got to take a commitment by the community.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, is every year, rather than just being on the backs of property tax owners, you know, could there be impact fees from new construction that could go help with infrastructure? And you know, I've talked to many legislators about that, but that doesn't ever seem to catch much traction there. So, you know, there are some other tools out there that could help with the infrastructure of facilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, this interview actually is going to air, and in conjunction with an interview we have with Luke Mayville. It's going to run right after this interview. And he's going to be talking about the Quality Education Act that Reclaim Idaho has just gotten approved to be on the November ballot. And that would basically tell the legislature they have to fund schools by another $300 million a year, Idaho schools. What would that mean for Lake Pend Oreille School District? You got any ideas on that?
I guess I'm not sure how equally it would be distributed. And I would hope there would be a commitment by the legislators for it to be in addition to the current funding, not supplant. Okay, we're going to fund $300 million here, but we'll pull $300 million away. I would hope that that wouldn't be the case. But, you know, our percent of $300 million, it would be an additional couple million, I would say, just, you know, throughout the state annually, which then could be used maybe towards facilities. Maybe we could pass it. It's too much to think about right now as far as how that the structure of that would work.
And it's so much speculative. I mean, it has to, it's going to be on the ballot, so voters need to approve it. So voters should be starting to study up on
start
that one.
See what decide, the details are there.
And decide how they're going to vote on it when it comes up in November, the November 8th.
I believe that's on the top end of income tax for the wealthy.
That's right. That's right. To be financed out of. Actually, they want to reinstate the corporate tax where it was several years ago before the legislature knocked it down, and then add to the tax on people making over, $300,000 or something like that. But Luke has the details on that. We'll be talking about that.
Really appreciate his efforts on that.
Tom Alverson, anything else you want to throw out there to the folks that you've been working for all these years?
Yeah, I just appreciate all the support. Even through the challenging time, there was always people who reached out to say thank you and be supportive. And obviously, things aren't always easy, but I do truly appreciate the support that the Standpoint community gives education and individually gave me. So.
And we are going to give a call to Dr. Becky Meyer, who's the incoming superintendent, and have an interview with her. Maybe we'll wait till we get a little closer to the school year on that and let her get her feet on the ground. Of course, she's not new here. She was Becky Kabir when she was the principal at Standpoint High School for several years.
I was assistant principal when she was principal. Yeah. So we've worked well together and... the district will be in great hands with her energy that she'll bring and ideas that she has. And it made my decision to retire much easier.
Good. Well, Tom, thanks for coming in to talk with us.
Thanks, Chris.